CBS, the Tiffany Network. Why West Virginia can't have nice things.
It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy.
And here we go, off and running. This program is live. It is the 27th day of December 2021, broadcasting live from the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion in the hills and hollers of Almost Level, West by Cole Trump, Virginia Stan.
Hi, I'm Robin. Let's try this again.
Why, Robin, what do you mean, let's try this again?
Well, see, at least some significant portion of my brain is still in the Central Standard Time Zone. So, approximately an hour ago, I got everything ready, hit all the buttons, threw the third switch, played the intro, did the well howdy, and was an hour early. I was in the chat room going, where the hell is everybody? And made it 15 minutes into the program. Before I looked up and looked down at the clock and the little display in the corner of my computer monitor, and it said 4:15. And I was like, well, of course it's 4:15, because airtime's 4 o'clock. No, Blondie, it's not. Airtime is 5 in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, so Little Miss Central Time shut everything down. Brother Deacon Asa was going, I wonder why my alarm didn't go off. And meanwhile, the lovely Annette, one room away from me, when I walked in, she said, "I knew that, but I just didn't want to mess you up or anything. So I figured you knew what you were doing." Of course, I didn't know what I was doing. Hi, I'm Robin. I'm happy to be home. We left Florence at about 20 minutes till 11 on Christmas morning, and made our way north up U.S. Highway 43 through Leoma and Loretta and Lawrenceburg and Etheridge and Columbia and Spring Hill, and got on I-65 and went to the Whip, and even on Christmas Day, there are people in the greater Nashville area who feel the need to get out there on the highway and see what they, you know. Wonder if this thing will do 100. Yeah. So, I was largely pleased with my ability to do the drive. We knocked off in Lexington, Kentucky, Christmas night. Nothing was open. So we went basically from Christmas Eve afternoon until yesterday morning without a meal, because there weren't nowhere to eat. We had some stuff with us in the car, so we had for Christmas night, it seemed like it was an appropriate meal. We had bread and oil and some herbs on the oil, and we snacked on that for dinner, and it seemed appropriate, and it was really sweet. And Annette and I had a lovely drive on Saturday. It was beautiful weather, 75 degrees all the way from Florence to Lexington. And we only quit in Lexington because the light gave out. The sun went down. Had we started a little bit earlier, I might have made it home, all the way home, because I was not that, I wasn't that roughed up, because I had, we had taken, and as my friend, my old friend, who is no longer with us, would have said years ago, we made preservations. So I had my donut cushion and a pillow on top of that, and some other items that, well, like those single-use cold packs where you break it, they're made of, some kind of ammonium something or another. But when you break the little water packet, it mixes and it makes it cold. And so I was able to keep everything in cryogenic suspension. And we got up yesterday morning and went on out I-64 eastbound toward West Virginia, stopped in Winchester, Kentucky, I should say, at Cracker Barrel, where everybody else in Winchester, Kentucky had apparently gone. That was the roughest part of the trip. There is not a comfortable chair in the entirety of a Cracker Barrel restaurant. Not one. They're all those really hard, old, wooden chairs, and even my poor little donut cushion couldn't stand up to the strain. So that was a painful hour. And we took our time, stopped for coffee at a Starbucks in Huntington, West Virginia, and eventually rolled in the driveway, I should say, at about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. But Annette and I had the most enjoyable drive. We laughed. We'd be coming up on an old car, and she'd take him. My father and mother had this thing. And my mom wore a practically a hole in the dashboard in the passenger side, you know, holding on for dear life. She was a nervous passenger, but we'd be coming up on a truck and she'd say, "Take him, Raymond." And Dad would reply, "I got him, Goldie," because back in the day, Raymond and Goldie were a couple that they knew, and she would instruct Raymond to, you know, overtake vehicles and pass them. And so yesterday I would hear, "Take him, Raymond." "Got it, Goldie." And things that, you know, he ain't got no insurance. but we laughed. We had so much fun. We listened to Christmas music on terrestrial radio, you know, commercial free. I have a new Christmas song I'm really fond of. Chris Rea. And the name of the song is "Driving Home for Christmas." I had never heard it until Saturday, and that's going into the rotation henceforward. But we made it back, and you cross into Eastern time at the county line of LaRue County, Kentucky, right before you get to Upton, Kentucky, on I-65. And all the phones changed over, but my brain didn't. And so that's why an hour and 9 minutes ago I started the program. Blonde. But we'll go. I'll go as far as I can go this evening in terms of pain and discomfort. But I'm getting better, and I think the drive I was able to make is kind of proof of that. So maybe we'll get the whole 3 hours in. That would be wonderful. But I've gotten way out ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so consequently, thanks go out to our 27th, 26th, and 25th of the month subscribers. That means thanks oh so kindly to our dear friend Robert in Australia. And thanks as well to David in San Diego. Thanks ever so kindly to Peter and to Mark. And Mark, you know who you are. Thank you. And thanks to Max for jumping in on last week's fundraising. Max got us down to about $1,000 to go. So that means, let's see, we're funded through like Tuesday of last week. That's awesome. Thank you, Max. And I had a note from our dear, dear friend, Rico, who sent a note along. Looking for it now. Had it there a moment ago. Oh, okay. No, Waffle House was open. Don in West Tennistan said, no Waffle Houses? Yeah, we passed several, but I didn't want to stop along because I didn't want to lose the daylight. I wanted to get as far as I could. And so and then by the time we got to Lexington, the check engine light had come on, found out why. Not a problem. But at the moment, we didn't know why. And so, no, we weren't going to go and look for the Waffle House because, as is so often the case, Apple Maps and that woman whose name is spelled S-I-R-I, because I can't say her name or she'll start talking to me now. Well, she sucks at finding places. So, you know, there's that. Thank you. Thank you, Dave and the Blind. Welcome home. Thank you. Billable Rick says, don't feel bad about being zoned out. In any case, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Anyway, welcome back to the Kincaid Mansion. Time for you to gas up the Maybach and the Gulfstream 5. Hope you and Annette enjoyed the Christmas holiday. We did. We did, Billable. And we were thinking about you because we saw that Annette saw that there was an evacuation order in Orange County because of a mudslide risk. That was worrisome. Hope everything was all right. There's no gas cap. Randy Radar said loose gas cap. There's no gas cap on that car. It just has the little nozzle. I mean, it's some sort of design. It was an electrical thing entirely of my own making. Had to do with the iPhone charger. David the Blind says, you're not the only one, Robin. As you probably noticed, I screwed up the first portion of this and my dexterous fingers hit the submit button too early. So don't feel like a total blonde, my friend. I just had a blonde moment right along with you. Here's hoping your brain catches up with you because God knows I don't know where the hell mine is. So believe you me, I understand. Yes. Thank you, Ralphs. I didn't forget it. I think I read past it, so my apologies. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs, for being a partial sponsor and such a huge part of the ongoing support of this program. But anyway, what I was saying earlier is I had a note from Rico in the Berg, so we've got a fighting chance at taking down the fundraising goal by $500 and get us down to only 2,000 to go to finish 2021 good. It is the I Love You and the Whole Community Challenge. I'm putting up $200. I'll kick in another 100 if it's met. Please keep it open until it is. Your reference to one of my favorite movies, It's a Wonderful Life, on Friday, as well as Sparky's touching story, John's beautiful humanity and generosity, and Bernadette and Jude's wonderful spirituality, made me think of my favorite line from that film. No man is ever poor when he has friends. This applies to you, Rico says, to me, and everyone in this community. I wish you, the lovely Annette, Ferg, and your whole family, as well as the whole amazing community, a blessed and safe new year. Signed, your buddy Rico, grateful for my life and for you all, as I write from the lovely quiescent Berg, where the Stillers suck. And Rico did point out that his beloved Stillers suck. And mightily so. Yeah. It's never a good time in DeBerg when the Stillers don't make the playoffs. I understand. If we can get $200 worth of contributions in, Rico will throw in another 100, and that'll knock out the rest of Tuesday and all of Wednesday and part of Thursday of last week, so that we'll be getting closer to actually fully funded for the full year of the horn. Stephen New York says, welcome back. Welcome back. Glad you got home safely. I'd like to thank you and the Horn family for the well wishes and support in my Christmas and COVID ordeal. Well, it was sincere, and it remains sincere, and I hope your quarantine is going well and that you'll be out of it soon. You didn't know? Billable Rick says, that's news to me. In any case, we were safely on the flat, muddy coastal plain, so the topography wouldn't have allowed any slip sliding away. P.S. It's raining again in Southern California. I saw where Sparky said he had a sleet storm. Roger sent a picture of his snow-covered backyard there in Oregon. And meanwhile here, it's gray and in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It's a downright tolerable 67 degrees. So that's fantastic. I don't know what's going on. This is just a technical thing. I don't know what's going on with podcasting, but I had a note from Peter and Libby in New York. Saying that for some reason or another, podcasts aren't populating since the 17th on their iPad. So I hope the podcasts square up, because we had programs pretty much all last week. Four Seasons. This from Matt in San Francisco. Thanks to climate change, we now have four seasons in California: super hot, fires and drought, torrential rain, and mudslides. Earthquakes to break up the monotony. God, yeah. Well, climate change is real. But it's funny how you can literally hit the deniers right in the schnoz with it. That's just the most powerful tornado we've seen in 8 years, and it's in December. Right. Yeah. Thank you, Henry. Henry got us started on the I Love You and This Whole Community Challenge, courtesy of Rico. There's $150 to go on that now. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. Randy Radar said, I thought you might miss tonight's program to celebrate Ferg's birthday. That was yesterday. And celebrate we did. He's very happy. And by the way, a little bit of happy news. We've known some time that he and his beloved are expecting a baby. And we found out when we got home that said baby will be a little girl. And so I'm absolutely over the moon. Annette and I were, when we were in Cracker Barrel, you know, they sell all kinds of stuff and extremely overpriced clothing items, but they had some cute little baby clothes. And I picked up one off the rack, and I said, we'll be shopping for these soon. We could probably already be shopping for them. And she smiled, and she beamed, and she said, I know. You're going to be a grandma. Again. And it just, wow. Wow. Thank you to Women Standing. We are now, we're working on Rico's challenge. And we are down to $130 to go on that challenge. Thank you. Thank you. I had a note from Jude earlier. Welcome home. I'm already sensing such connectiveness of joyful warmth, knowing you're on in a few moments. That was before five. I love the program even before I experienced it. How grand is this? Hello, family, friends. And again, welcome back home, dear Robin and Annette, and on more levels than one, peaceful thoughts, Jude. Thank you, Jude. It is, it's, I love the two places that I was in intensely. Florence is kind of prosaic. I mean, it has its history, it has its special places, but it's special to me because it's where I was born and raised. And the road between there and here is the first real trip I ever took in my life as a baby. Just kind of, I guess, laid on a blanket on my mother's lap, or when I got a little older, standing in the middle of the seat. Yeah, it was the mid-60s. Car seats, please. And yet we survived. I see that meme from time to time among the COVIDiots and the mask holes and the spread necks. We survived growing up without car seats, and you think a vaccine, you think a virus is going to scare us? And it's always a meme that's been posted by somebody that got killed by the Rona. Because, and of course, and this is a complicated scientific mathematical term, a shit ton of airline flights were canceled today because Omicron has gone just absolutely wild. Again, thanks to the spread necks and the maggots and the COVIDiots. I don't want to wear a mask. It takes away my freedom. No, it takes away your freedom, dumbass. Be it dead. Oh, well. It's no worse than the flu. Another one of those why we can't have nice things moments. I got a note here from Joey. Christmas Day, part one. Yes, Jeffrey and I are coming to you live Christmas Day from right under the Christmas tree, where there seems to be one prominent package overshadowing all of the others. I'll let Jeffrey explain the contents of the package.
Yes, it appears that there is a very large, dense package under the tree, which has it's come from a very dense man by the name of Joe Manchin. Oh, what a shock. There it is, right under the tree, a big lump of coal, direct from the coal capital of the United States, West Virginia. Gosh, didn't see that one coming from Uncle Joe, the corporate hoe, the bituminous billionaires. My apologies to sex workers, as I have much respect for them, because many of them are good people who can not only sleep with somebody else, but they can sleep with themselves after a hard day's work. When Joey and I were down in West Virginia last summer with Robin protesting at Joe Manchin's office, Joey yelled at one of the staffers, "Shame on you. How do you sleep at night when you support this man who drives a car that's worth more than most people's homes in this state?" Junior collates.
Thanks, Joe Manchin, for leaving a large lump of coal under the Christmas trees of most Americans by not helping pass the Build Back Better plan.
Yesterday, I was reading the top two states in this country for per capita cancer deaths are West Virginia and Kentucky, and most of this is due to the black lung or cancer-causing agents common to coal miners.
Well, not entirely true, Jeffrey. Those cancer rates are also driven up among a population that aren't coal miners or coal workers of any sort. They just happen to live near mountaintop removal coal mining, and massive amounts of ultrafine particulate matter are blasted into the air. The only day they don't blast is Christmas. That's it. And those ultrafine particulates get into your lungs, and there's nothing to stop them, and they start cancer processes almost immediately from the moment that they are taken in to the body. And so there's lots of people with cancer in this state who've never been anywhere near a coal mine. They just had the coal mine come to them. It's not that, you know, they think that we live where they mine coal. No, they mine coal where we live. And they've never been worth a damn at keeping their crap on their own property. And we know for a fact that these ultrafines can travel miles and miles and miles once they're blasted into the up a couple of hundred feet into the wind. Yeah. So that's the little addendum to what Jeffrey had.
So while you coal miners have your heads down in the mines during the day, you obviously have your heads up your asses when you go into the voting booth, because you always seem to end up with people like Rand Paul, Moscow, Mitch McConnell, and Joe Manchin. It's time for some fresh air in your minds and in your minds when you go to vote.
Yeah, we need some candidates worth voting for, because you know what? Joey, if you were voting in West Virginia, and it was a choice between, as it was a few years ago, if it was a choice between Joe Manchin and Pill Push and Patty Morrissey, you know, the former hydrocodone lobbyist, and you knew it was a close race with a less than 10-point spread, I bet I know how you'd vote. Just to try to protect yourself against a drug dealer. Because he's Pill Push and Patty Morrissey, through what he did in his past life before he became Attorney General of West Virginia, has killed more people than Joe Manchin has, probably. Jeffrey rants on.
Well, what do you know? Kim Potter is found guilty of 2 counts of manslaughter, which probably should have been 1 count of murder, but what do I know? I'm only a giraffe studying at Harvard. Hell, frankly, I was surprised the woman was even considered competent enough to stand trial, considering she was so incompetent that she couldn't tell the difference between a taser and a handgun. Maybe she took that competency test that Trump took, courtesy of Ronnie Jackson. You remember the test where Trump was so brilliant he was able to tell the difference and distinguish between a person, woman, man, camera, TV?
Yeah, they tell you something, and then later they ask you, and you say, person, man, woman, camera, TV.
Maybe Potter passed Ronnie Jackson's test, giving it to Trump, but failed when she came to the part of a woman with a gun, a black man, and no gun, and a video camera recording the entire event.
Well, now Jeffrey's just rambling.
Being that it was Christmas Day and many of us are grateful for what God's provided, or others may be thrilled with Buddha's blessings, whichever you prefer. However, this will be the first Christmas Day for Dante Wright's family without Dante, all because of what was in the Potter's hand. Yeah, criminal Kim Potter took away that right from Dante Wright and his family. Yeah, and it was Christmas Day in the year 1776 that George Washington and his army crossed the Delaware River and captured the British, killed a lot of them, in Trenton, New Jersey.
Yes, and Joey, but you forgot one important detail,
says Junior.
George Washington did cross the Delaware River and captured the British troops, but you failed to mention that George Washington crossed the Delaware with his fully vaccinated army and captured the British troops in Trenton.
Good job, Junior. It was a fully vaccinated army. He had told them that they could get vaccinated right there in their arm, or they could hang from right there, that there tree.
According to my studies here at Harvard, Jeffrey says, it was an unwritten rule that all armies put down their weapons on Christmas Day to honor the holiest days in America and Europe. However, George Washington had other plans as he decided to take advantage of the unsuspecting British soldiers.
Well, that just wasn't cricket now, was it?
Well, a sneak attack in Trenton, so General George and his fully vaccinated army left their beautiful Bucks County Hotel in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and crossed over the Delaware River on Christmas Day and captured the British. The British Army was in the midst of singing "O Holy Night" when one of the British brigades spotted Washington's army, and then they sang another version of the song "O Holy Night," which included the lyrics, "Oh, holy shit!
Oh, holy shit!"
Next day, the Philadelphia Inquirer, one of America's oldest newspapers, reported on the unconventional war tactics of General Washington by saying, "Yes, George Washington and his vaccinated army did not follow any unwritten rules last night as they departed Bucks County and went over to Trenton to win the war."
Yeah, I guess you could say that Washington bucks the Trenton. Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, there's the first use of the cowbell now that we're back in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Mansion Monday, the 27th day of December, with Giraffrey always bucking the trend. So there's a $50 Bucks the Trenton challenge on the table. So that means there's $180 in challenges on the table, and that'll get us below the $2,000 mark if we can raise that $180. Thank you. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe and Junior. Junior just gets a little smarter every day. Thank you. Okay, there's a technical response from Ralph from Apple for Apple Horn Podcast. It's missing last Wednesday and Monday. Podbean's also missing last Wednesday and Monday. We were on the air. No, we weren't. No. No, we did not have programs all last week. We had a brief program Monday, and then nothing Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday we had a show, and Friday. I'd forgotten. Yeah. Because of the internet issues that we had. So there should be, and I uploaded the Monday, no. There was no program Monday. We had a little bit of a program Tuesday and nothing Wednesday. And so, yeah, there should be a little bit of program on Tuesday for Tuesday, and then nothing Monday, nothing Wednesday, and then, yeah, Thursday and Friday we had programs. Okay. At least we know it's not a gremlin. Hey, thank you so much to Clarence. I don't know if you're on the road or back in South Carolina for the time being, but Clarence jumped in and just took us back down to 155 on the combined challenges, the Buck the Trenton challenge from Joey and Giraffe, and the I Love You All and This Community challenge from Rico into Quiescent Berg. For Joey's journal, there had to be a cowbell in there. Billable Rick noted, "You found your cowbell." Mm-hmm. Well, shame on me. I'd forgotten to. I've got a spare, and I need to put it in the road rig, so that the cowbell goes with me whenever we. But won't be any road tripping now until second week of February, and I'll probably be gone for a couple of days there. I'll have to drive down to Birmingham, and then my appointment is on the 9th, so I'll probably be gone the 8th, 9th, 10th, probably be gone 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and be back on Monday the 14th, you know, Valentine's Day, but that's a long way away. There's a new Christmas Carol lyric courtesy of Randy Radar. I wasn't home for Christmas, thanks to Omicron. There were stays and flight delays. Randy Radar, to tell the truth, I stayed put. If you have time to spare, go by air. Yeah, that's good stuff, Randy. And it is indeed more in Monday. And like I said last week, I've been reflecting on, because, you know, Scrooge and the Grinch, they both get redeemed as villains go. They find redemption at the end. At the end of the tale, the same thing for Bill Murray's character in Scrooged. So if you want to compare Joe Manchin to anybody in terms of Christmas villains, the one you want is that rotten, ruthless, vicious, dishonest, miserable, hateful, crummy Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life, because there's no redemption for him. He doesn't get better. And, the whole movie, you find out that instead of Bedford Falls, it's Pottersville, and everybody's shitty and mean and awful. That's Joe Manchin to a T. Yeah. But we got lots of stuff to talk about this evening. In point of fact, speaking of Joe Potter or Joe Manchin, there was a blistering op-ed in the West Virginia Gazette Mail of this past weekend. Saturday, Christmas Day, the Gazette Mail published an op-ed by David M. Friesen. And he pulled no punches. And he is a brilliant man, a scholar, a minister. At present, he is serving as the interim president of, I think, Brandeis University. And he delivered an absolute jeremiad against Joe Manchin. He said, you gain an interest, and I feel like David Friesen and I could sit down and compare notes and come to the same conclusions, because his editorial sounds a lot like things that I've said for a very long time on this program. You gain an interesting perspective watching your home state from afar. Watching commentators like Morning Joe Scarborough attempt to paint Senator Manchin as a type of political Svengali centrist who's using his talents to survive in red state West Virginia is maddening. The Progressive Party in West Virginia did not just die. Manchin killed it. Well, I do take a little bit of umbrage at the notion that there are no progressives left in West Virginia and that there is no movement. There is, but he's absolutely right in saying that Joe Manchin went to war with it and won that war. And he really, really started it. I mean, this has been a process of decades, because he started it in 1996 when he threw a tantrum when he didn't win the Democratic nomination for governor, and a woman named Charlotte Pritt did. She had the Democratic nomination, and so Joe Manchin and his cronies got together and they backed a halfway comatose alcoholic Republican former vice president for Island Creek Coal Company by the name of Cecil Underwood. At one point in time, Cecil was the youngest governor of West Virginia back in the 60s, and when he was elected the second time, he became the oldest. And they say that at the governor's Christmas party during those 4 years, they just sort of propped Cecil up in the corner with a glass of hooch in his hand, and people would come up and toast it, you know, kind of like the guest of honor at an Irish wake. And Joe Manchin was singularly responsible for his election, because they put together an outfit called Democrats for Underwood. Because it was, if Joe Manchin couldn't be the Democratic nominee for governor, by God, there wouldn't be a Democratic governor. And that was 1996. And he campaigned, and he worked. He became governor in 2004, and was reelected in 2008, and then stepped down when Robert Byrd died, and ran to finish out his unexpired term, and has been a senator ever since. And along the way has done everything he could to destroy or oppose any progressive inklings in the West Virginia Democratic Party. We passed, and I was a delegate to that convention in 2016, we passed the single most progressive state party platform ever in the history of West Virginia. And frankly, it was one of the most progressive platforms ever that year, anywhere. And he just said, well, fuck that. And so there is very much a movement, but David Friesen is correct when he says, at some point, those of us who voted for Manchin in the past have to realize that he only cares about creating wealth for his family and wielding personal power. How many times have I said, we can probably all repeat it by heart now, nobody named Manchin ever does anything for anybody that benefits anybody whose name isn't Manchin. It really is that simple. Bryson says, Manchin is very powerful in West Virginia and in Congress, yet no one can recount any positives from his state that derive from his power. He almost single-handedly destroyed the progressive movement in West Virginia, even though West Virginia has a progressive history. Lord, yes. The labor movement here, and the for a while, we had some very decidedly humane policies. The Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia had held, for instance, that Medicaid monies could not be withheld from women's health services for poor women in West Virginia because it would have been discrimination against them. And so, at one point in time, Medicaid monies could be used to perform an abortion. Yeah. But saying something that we've said here as well, David Friesen said, Manchin continually weakened the West Virginia Democrats and has done the same to the National Party and the Biden agenda, to the detriment of the poor and the marginalized in West Virginia and nationally. History will not be kind to the Manchin name. But, of course, Joe doesn't care about whether history is kind to the Manchin name, because the only thing, he's much more of the mindset of, say, Dim Leader back in, when he was ginning up the wars in Afghanistan and particularly Iraq, and somebody said, history will judge you will not judge you kindly, and who cares about history? We're all going to be dead. But no, history will not be kind to Joe Manchin, and nor should it. Nor should it. And David Friesen recounts what I just did, the 1996 coup against the Democratic nominee for governor, Charlotte Pritt. And they didn't just defeat Charlotte Pritt. They ruined her. They tried to absolutely, personally destroy her. Because that's who Joe Manchin is. Joe Manchin was behind, as David Friesen points out, Joe Manchin was behind Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. When he said, no, really, I'm a Democrat. In no way, shape, form, or fashion am I going to ever be a Republican again. And Joe said, yeah, he's a Democrat, and he's my buddy. And got him elected governor. And then, of course, he turned around and put a shiv in the Democratic Party and went back to being the Republican that he had always been. And so, to the extent that, you know, our party in this state is in rebuilding mode, and we're doing everything possible, but we are climbing uphill with one foot in a bucket. And by the way, Joe's daughter, Heather Bresch, got a $37 million severance package when she decided to retire from Mylan Pharmaceuticals at less than 55 years old. I misspoke. David Friesen is the interim vice president and chief diversity officer of Brandeis University in Massachusetts. But good on him for speaking truth to power. And this kind of dovetails with, this is a Moran Monday kind of thing. This dovetails with another story. Our buddy Scott in San Diego. As I got closer, as we got closer and closer to coming home, and I mentioned it on the air last week, that line from Take Me Home Country Roads, I hear her voice in the morning hours she calls me. The radio reminds me of my home far away. And driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. That was, as we got nearer and nearer to leaving, that song played over and over. That particular passage played over and over and over in my mind. Because it does, it feels like some sort of actual energetic or energy-derived pull, like some sort of spiritual magnetism. If you are from this place and you know this place, you'll tear up when you're somewhere else and you hear this song. And so it was with me. And so lo and behold, yesterday when we got home, I had to turn around and go right back out because we needed half and half and coffee and some things, you know, so we could have, you know, coffee this morning because there was, and because we just wanted to get home yesterday and didn't stop along the way. So we, and lo and behold, and I've had the same thing happen in Alabama too. You walk in somewhere and lo and behold, Sweet Home Alabama comes on. Well, I walked in the store and there it was, Country Roads, as if it was being played just for me. And I got a little misty. And that felt clean and good and right. And it turned out, I posted that on Facebook, that line, you know, I hear her voice in the morning hour. She calls me, the radio reminds me of my home far away. And if you've ever been on the road and tuned in an AM station late at night, that was one of the powerful effects of the distant signal. It had the power to pull your heart. And lo and behold, after I posted that lyric, that segment of the lyric, Scott in San Diego pointed out to me on Facebook that CBS This Morning, just yesterday, had done a piece on the universal appeal of Take Me Home Country Roads. And I watched it, and I watched it again. And the more I watched it, the madder I got. The piece was done by I presume, a young journalist, or youngish journalist, I don't know, at CBS, who had grown up in Charleston and wanted to find out what the appeal was of that song, because as Chris in Germany, she sent me videos from time to time. They love that song in beer fests, and they sing the song in beer fests in Munich and Stuttgart and elsewhere. And it's kind of charming. And apparently there is some popular anime movie about a little girl who translates it into Japanese. The piece on CBS This Morning said that it was a popular hit in Jamaica, with the lyric being changed to West Jamaica. And they bottlerized it in Hawaii to reflect some geographic location in Hawaii. And they interviewed Bill Danoff, who wrote it, along with Taffy Danoff and John Denver. And the reason I got upset was because he said, well, you know, And the interviewer said, well, you know, you don't even know anything about West Virginia. You're from Massachusetts. He said, yeah, but West Virginia just sounded better. And then said, you know, it could be about anywhere. It's about your longing for home. And just happens to have the words West and Virginia in it. Now, yesterday, as we were driving home, when we crossed the state line, there was a big sign that says, Welcome to wild, wonderful, almost heaven, West Virginia. Because almost heaven are the first two words of that song. And in a state as beaten and bedraggled, as blasted and burnt, as tormented and poor as this state is, that song means a lot. It's not the official state song. There's another song also called The West Virginia Hills. I sing it every time I pass under the West Virginia state line sign. Oh, the hills, the beautiful hills, how I love the West Virginia hills. If over land or sea I roam, still I think of happy home and my friends among the West Virginia hills. And it gives me chills every time I do it, because the reason I do it is because my mother would do it. On all those trips from Florence to West Virginia, she would sing when we crossed into the land of her birth. And sometimes my father would join in. So much has been taken from this place. So much has been robbed. So much has been stolen. We have literally allowed coal companies to destroy some of the oldest mountains on earth and bury a couple of thousand miles of streams just because some goddamn coal executive hasn't figured out that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses. You know, Joe Manchin's another one of those people who doesn't understand the word enough. There's never enough for Joe Manchin. And David Friesen was right. He does not serve the people of West Virginia. All he serves is people named Manchin. He exercises power in service to people named Manchin. He has never come up with a piece of brilliant transformative legislation. Nothing. And so it was kind of like a 1-2 punch, Joe Manchin and then that thing on CBS. Can you imagine? Now, you got a song with West Virginia all through it, and somebody says, well, you know, it's not really about West Virginia. Can you imagine telling an Alabamian that Sweet Home Alabama is not about Alabama? But it can just be, it can be about being proud of wherever you are. You know, we need to get, and I should, I ought to get John Bridevo on the blower and ask him if the Yellow Rose of Texas is about anywhere. Or is it place specific to Texas? The eyes of Texas are upon you. Gee, is that about Jamaica? Is that about Japan? Where apparently, well, you know, you can, is it about Hawaii? How about Oklahoma? And the song by the same name with the exclamation point at the end. Oklahoma. No, you know what? That can be about Poughkeepsie. That can be about Dubuque. That can be about, oh, I don't know, Fraser's Bottom, West Virginia. I suspect, having mentioned Oklahoma, Texas, and Alabama, that they would, the people there would probably take umbrage at that idea. Or those states being those states, maybe go and get their freedom protector out, would you say? Georgia on my mind. Is there anybody out there saying, no, everybody else can have it? It's not really about Georgia. It can be about pining for Wichita. Wait, the Wichita lineman. No, that ain't really about Wichita. That can be about a telephone company repairman pining for home in Billings. Or Iuka, Mississippi. Can we not have anything here? Is it just because we're beaten down and broke and blasted and killed and maimed and wounded for the well-being of the rest of the country? Does that mean you can just take anything from us and we'll just lay there and take it, apparently? Honest to God, that piece on CBS struck me as... It had a kind of a J.D. Vance feel to it. People talking about shit they knew nothing about. So, you know, that. And I just kind of wanted to get that off of my chest a little bit, I suppose. Son of a gun. Good. I just remembered that I don't have the stress line fired up, but I do now, because I have Phil Robstered the first hour of the program. If you'd like to engage in some conversation, you are more than welcome so to do. As we wind down this old year, gosh. I remember when 2021 was new, and we all talked about, well, you know, the vaccine will come along, and then we'll get this thing licked, and we'll get, and you know, we'll be back to normal by the end of the year. $800,000 plus Americans dead. And whatever optimism we entered 2021 on took a real kick in the teeth on January the 6th. And we're still waiting for something that smacks of justice for the people who attacked our government in an act of open rebellion and insurrection. We're still waiting for the ringleaders to be called to the bar of justice, and not just their ignorant, bloody little foot soldiers. What was it? What was the saying pre-1948 among Jews of the diaspora next year in Jerusalem? And it seemed it was always next year in Jerusalem. And of course, as a fan of the West Virginia University Mountaineer football team, it's always maybe next year for us, because we're the winningest major college football program without a national championship. So maybe next year. And it's always maybe next year. So, maybe next year we'll get this thing under control. Or maybe not. Maybe not. Pfizer is putting out a pill for treating it after you have it, that's given emergency use authorization by the FDA. But we still don't we won't have the thing licked until we get enough people vaccinated to want it to be done with. Jesus. Oh, by the way, Steve in New York says, as a person who grew up a Bengals fan, I have no sympathy for RICO. And, of course, I remember the late, great Myron Cope, who, along with Jack Fleming. And there, by the way, and that was the best part of the CBS piece yesterday. There was a tiny little snippet of the magnificent voice of Jack Fleming. And the guy who replaced him still, after all these years, could not carry Jack Fleming's microphone stand. Yeah, there's another one. There's another one. Matt in San Francisco. San Francisco, open your golden gate. Don't let no stranger wait outside your door. I will smack anyone who says that's about wherever you are. I get you, sister. Thank you, Matt. And I left my heart in San Francisco is, by God, not about Savannah. But y'all just come on in here to West Virginia and take anything you want. I try not to use that word, Ron. Get it off your chest. No, wait a minute. Ron and Raleigh says, wouldn't that be off your bosom? Them spike babes. Well, yes, ma'am, they are, but I'm growing my own as fast as I can. Back to it's a Wonderful Life for a moment. Billable Rick says, didn't Mr. Potter tear up George's mortgage note at the end of this movie, or was that a different lender? I think he had to, though, because the money was there. He had no choice. That was not a redemptive moment. Connor Knighton did the segment on CBS. Thanks, Lee in New York. I appreciate it. Lee serving as the ad hoc horn research department this evening. Clarence says, climate change visual. I hope all's well with you and your family. Here's an update on my whereabouts. I'm taking my 10-hour DOT break at the Petro Stopping Center, exit 188, just west of Nashville. And there's another song with it. But yeah, Jimmy Buffett, on one of his albums, has a song called West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown. It is not about Louisville. I left Memphis, Clarence says, about 4 hours ago. I traveled along Interstate 40 heading east. Tornado damage straddled both sides of the highway. Trees were uprooted and laid down like dominoes in a row. The destruction covered at least 40 miles. The spots that were hit looked like a logging site being cleared. Some of the carnage was at least a half a mile from the shoulder of the roadway. Mother Nature left her calling card again. We saw some of that, too, as we headed up I-65. We saw highway signs, you know, the metal ones, you know, next exit, that kind of thing, that looked like they had been trashed and mangled by a really big and very angry tantrum throwing baby. At one point saw a power company truck out in the middle of a field, having just put up a new power pole. Saw trees blown over in Kentucky in the very way that Clarence just described. Going back to the history of the Battle of Trenton, Dave says, Joey and Giraffe, you got your history a little wrong. The troops in Trenton were Hessian mercenaries. The commanding officer was warned, but stayed in his quarters playing cards with some of the other officers. And Ron and Raleigh reminds us, Chile had a presidential election recently. A socialist won the election. I hope the new president has an eye on old Hank Kissinger. Chile doesn't have a strong track record with socialism. Good luck to them. Because Henry Kissinger is still alive. Proving, again, that evil is a preservative. Some good science news coming from Jeremy in Vermont. The James Webb Telescope is passing the moon right now, 2 days after launch, on its way to its new home a million miles from the sun, where it'll be able to read background infrared light and will shed light as to how the universe looked 13 billion years ago. It's planned to have a 5-year lifespan, but may last as much as 10. That's going to be so cool. So really cool. Stop it, says Billable Rick. Stop grumbling about West Virginia's things being misappropriated by others. Festivus is over now. The airing of grievances. But of course, those crafty devils at CBS putting that thing up after Festivus and the airing of grievances was over. They did that on purpose. And we are at $150 to go on the two challenges, Rico's I Love You in This Community challenge and Joey and Giraffe's Buck the Trenton challenge. And if those both get met, we will be down to $1,900 to finish the month of December in the year 2021 funding for the horn. So it would be lovely to see that 150 roll in bits and pieces, 10 at 15, 15 at 10. Or 30 at 5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Randy Radar is seeking some community help. I'm trying to get a flu shot this week, but a relative told me that the shot's only 33% effective this year. Can somebody confirm? Well, 33% is greater than zero. And as such, it's worth getting. And I hope you can get one quickly. I got my booster and my flu shot within 5 days of each other. Back, it's like October the 1st and October the 5th. And, you know, the other thing that goes a long way, we did find this out during 2020, is that masking dropped flu levels dramatically. And so we will continue to mask. One of the things about being back home is that Cleopatra no longer has her chaise longue on the barge heading down the Nile. But she also has a microphone that's on a gooseneck, so I can stand up a little bit and get a little bit of relief that way. But overall, things are not too bad. Let's see here. Had a note from our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. She said, if I may, that misty feeling you experienced coming home is a reflection of the consuming and radiating fullness of your internal harmony, Robin. As you experience the refined purity of this energy, it has the ability to shift to consciousness, powerful yet tender at the same time. Lovely story in sharing this vulnerability. Great work, journey, my sister. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And she adds, this is just how I walk through life. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I do feel different. I feel different being here. It sort of blew my mind a little bit when, so I have to set up the interface to record every program. Dear God, please let me hit the record button. Let's not have that stupidity again. Yes, the record button is going good. But I went to, and the last date on the interface here was October the 29th. And I was in oh so many ways a different person then. And it just blows my mind. Yeah, you're right. Randy Radar says, Henry Kissinger has outlasted Desmond Tutu. Fuck. Evil is a preservative. Frank, out in Iowa, says, I'm just wondering, is living on Tulsa time about Winnipeg? I mean, did they really need to do that? And there was some beautiful footage of West Virginia in there, including where I live, New River Gorge. Wow. Wow. Thanks, Ralphs. Thanks for jumping in. 140 now. Mm-hmm. So, we're making progress, and that's wonderful. And Ron and Raleigh reminded me of something earlier. And that is... Jesus. Ron says, I trust you heard that ex-Dolt 45... wished all in the black community a Kwanzaa wish. That just sounds weird. Meanwhile, there's Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. Yeah. Who unburdened herself of her feelings about Kwanzaa. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa. And if you celebrate it, I wish you the very happiest of holidays. But that it was certainly not the intent of Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. The woman who is in constant competition, not just for stupidest woman in Congress, but stupidest human being in Congress. I'll grant you she's got competition from people on the non-gendered side of it all. Has competition from the likes of Paul Gosar and Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Lord knows Lion Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley. But this being the first day of Kwanzaa, she channeled her inner racist. Well, I mean, come on, it's an inner racist, it's an outer racist, it's an everything racist. She got pissed off at the National College Republicans because the National College Republicans tweeted an entirely anodyne Kwanzaa greeting from their Twitter account. She accused this nasty little bleach blonde white supremacist. She accused the National College Republicans of pandering and BS because they sent out a Kwanzaa wish. Stop. It's a fake religion created by a psychopath. People are tired of pandering and BS. Kwanzaa was created by Professor Molana Karenga. He had a conviction in the 1960s for assault at a time when he was involved in black nationalist politics. And has maintained all along that the prosecution was politically motivated. He was not a psychopath. And it's also, because she's an idiot, not a religion, as Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball suggested. No, it's not a religion at all. It's a festival. It's a festival that celebrates African-American identity. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Ron and Molly. She's a pox on this country. You're not bringing any new voters. You're turning them away. Of course, the college Republicans also managed to misspell Kwanzaa. There's two A's at the end, not just one. I'm sure they would have gotten it right if it had had multiple K's. Them being Republicans and all. Oh, well, thank you, Jim. Yes, we had a message from Jim. Jim's still being shitty. Brother Deacon Asa made me aware of that. Shitty show indeed, Miss Welch. Jim thinks he's being clever. But he's just being bitchy. Oh, well. I hope you had a lovely Christmas, Jim. And I hope you have a happy new year. And I hope someday you can be happy. It's a wonderful feeling to not just be consumed by bitterness and hate. Happy holidays, Jim. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin just jumped in, and we are down to $115 to go on the challenge, on Rico's and Joey and Giraffe and Junior's challenges. Thank you so much. Okay, so today is day two of Kwanzaa, according to Randy and PA. Yeah, well, of course, you know, Republican... A Republican maggot white lady. Yeah, there's no room in her Republican Party for people of color. I don't know. Could we work up a steel cage death match between her and maybe Candace Owens? I'd buy a ticket. And of course, Kwanzaa just is not. Simply, it's not an American thing. Professor Karenga designed it as a worldwide celebration of Africanness. And I don't know where the harm is. But it apparently just... It just goes through Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball like a dose of salts. Go figure. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York says, so the show is so shitty he always tunes in. I know. Well, it's the Howard Stern rule. People who love Howard Stern tune in for 2 hours a day. People who hate Howard Stern tune in for three. Stern's Law. I just think it's sad. It's just pathetic. But I'm glad to know Jim's still out there. Healing and health to you. Healing and health. Thank you, Steve, in New York. Steve just took us down to 105 bucks to go. Thank you, Steve. Arnold P.A. says, let's invite all the religious deities to one place, and when no one shows up, can we just cut this crap out? Well, I do like me some secular holiday. Oh, and since the song thing is taking on a bit of a life of its own, Kevin says, then you've got Please Come to Boston by Dave Loggins. But that's about the number one fan of the man from Tennessee. And who knew, Kevin, it's actually about Pocatello, Idaho, if you need it to be about Pocatello, Idaho. Are you doing math again? Lee in New York said earlier, 33% is greater than 0%. Yes, get your flu shot, Randy. I agree. There's a bunch of them, aren't there? But only one that they're saying, nah, it's not really the hillbillies. Anybody can have it that wants it. It's up for grabs. And as to misspelling Kwanzaa, Lee says, I expect that Republicans would misspell it by starting it with three K's. Great minds. That's exactly what I thought. If it had multiple K's, they'd get it right. Makes it easy for them. So we've, and by the way, when we were talking about songs, I mentioned, you know, Oklahoma. Well, we got a new law or a new bill. There's a new bill been introduced in Oklahoma Stan. Putting the Stan in Oklahoma Stan is State Senator Rob Standridge. Last time we were hearing about a state senator in Oklahoma, he was going to prison for having invited an underage boy to his motel room to pay him with money and drugs to have sex with that good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Republican paragon of virtue. Ralph Shorty something, I think, was that guy's name. This is Rob Standridge. Look for this. Look for a version of this bill to be introduced in various legislatures around the Confederacy. And exactly as I predicted, it is modeled on the bullshit law that the illegitimate Supreme Court of the United States allowed. Let stand. I think the allowed was superfluous. Senate Bill 1142 in the state of Oklahoma, Stan, lets any parent in Oklahoma, Stan, who is aggrieved by a book in a school library to demand that a book be removed from that library, and then empowers those parents to collect $10,000 a day. It's not a one-off $10,000 payday like it is for ratting out somebody who aids and abets an abortion in Texas. No, this is $10,000 a day if the school library doesn't knuckle under and pull the book. According to the language of the bill, God, what a moron. Any books that, quote, that make as their primary subject the study of sex, just sex. I mean, even hetero cis normative sex, white hetero cis normative sex. Any books, quote, that make as their primary subject the study of sex, sexual preferences, sexual activity, sexual perversion, sex-based classifications, sexual identity, or gender identity, or books that are of a sexual nature that a reasonable parent or legal guardian would want to know of or approve of prior to their child being exposed to it. That's a lot of books. I hate to break it, Senator Standridge, but one of the books that would be on that list would be the Bible. Yes, the Bible. Pretty much all of the book of Genesis has to go. And then there's the parable of the woman taken in adultery. That's got to go, too. The study of sex. Okay, so... Wait, that's biology textbooks. Sexual preferences. I don't even know what sexual preferences are. Because a preference is a choice. And I don't know a single human being on planet Earth who has chosen their sexuality. Now, the good God-fearing, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans will bark and grunt and hoot about how people choose to be gay, or maybe choose to be trans, or bi, or lesbian, or asexual. But they're idiots. And you can find that out real quickly if you run across one of these doofy. And you say, okay, tell me the morning that you woke up and decided to be straight.
Well, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Oops. If you buy into that myth, the first woman was trans. Made from a rib, from a guy, genetically male. Oops. So, Bible's out, biology textbooks are out, Origin of the Species, well, I'm sure that hasn't been allowed in a public school in Oklahoma since God was a baby. And, sex-based classifications? I guess there won't be any AP zoology classes in Oklahoma public schools. And so your ignorant, aggrieved, stupid liberty parents, like that idiot woman in Williamson County, Tennessee, would write a letter demanding it be removed. And within 30 days of the request, whoever doesn't remove the book, whoever doesn't do the bidding of the fascist, shall be dismissed or not re-employed. If a school librarian says, hell no, this statute says they get fired for standing up for the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. You know, the part that isn't a prop. A life support system for the religion industry. Like I said, there's a payday involved. People can, these offended parents can, quote, seek monetary damages, including a minimum of $10,000 per day. The book requested for removal is not removed. Reasonable attorney's fees and court costs. Now, the Bible is not what got Senator Standridge all upset, but it's going to have to go. No, he's upset about a book called Trans Teen Survival Guide, because you know what? Trans teens need a survival guide, because somewhere around 40% of them at least contemplate suicide. The Quick and Easy Guide to Queer and Trans Identities. A Quick and Easy Guide to They, Them Pronouns. There's a war against pronouns. And, of course, The Art of Drag. I hope nobody tells Senator Standridge that there are a lot of little cis teenage girls who learn to do their makeup from drag queens on YouTube. Yeah. Standridge, though, knows that he's trying to set up a fight, and there'll be a fundraising email, of course. Dear friend,
in our fight against the transes in our Oklahoma God-fearing schools. I can't do it unless I can stay in office. Will you please send me $5 today?
But he knows what he's doing. He said most likely these things will end up in court. My guess is the schools won't comply and the parents will have to seek injunctive relief. That'll be up to the trier of fact. Ooh, somebody's been to law school. They may well disagree with the parent and say reasonable parents would want their children to be exposed to transgender, queer, and other sexually related books. I would doubt that. On the other hand, State Representative Jacob Rosenkrantz, who's a Democrat, is at least speaking up for some degree of sanity. They say on the other side that they're trying to stop indoctrination. This looks to me like it's indoctrination. When you're trying to say what somebody should or shouldn't do, or somebody should or shouldn't read, isn't that the epitome of that? Oh, you lost him at epitome there, Jake. I think it's just trying to feed into the fear-mongering that it looks like the GOP is really going for here. My big thing, and it's strange that a Democrat should be saying this, is shouldn't we just leave these decisions to local boards? It looks to me like this is some type of government overreach, massive, when it comes from the party of small government. Blows me away. Don't say it blows me away, Representative Rosenkrantz, because some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republican will take that the wrong way, maybe literal. And there's more than one literal way to take blows me away. Yeah. Senator Shorty is an instructive case in point. Yeah, exactly. Matt in San Francisco says, wouldn't the Bible be out? Lot and his daughters? Can I get $10,000 a day? I've always found that book offensive. Good God, it is. Maybe somebody needs to put that out. No, don't smarten up a chump. Let them pass this thing and then sue to get the Bible taken out of the library because of all the filth that's in it. Then there's that whole David loved Jonathan and Jonathan loved David with their whole soul. Yeah. Yeah. How many wives did David have and concubines? That's a whole bunch of merkins. No, really. Look at all my wives. Yeah. So I'm sure this thing will have a little staying power. Because, well, no small number of idiots out there. And over to the, make sure I got the volume up and everything. Over to the Skype line. Got two on hold. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is it me?
It's you.
This is Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
You change your name so often, I figured it had to be you.
Oh, okay. How are you doing?
Not terrible. I've made it through an hour and 45 minutes of program. Of course, only an hour and 34 minutes of that's actually gone out.
What is it with you all of a sudden forgetting to hit record?
No, I hit record. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that. No, I was just. I'm still. My brain's still in Central Time. And so I started the program at 4 o'clock. Got 15 minutes in and said, what am I fucking doing?
Well, you need to get Terry on the horn and see if she can't at least FedEx that to you.
Well, no, that's even worse because she's still in Central Time.
Well, no, she can FedEx your brain. You said it's still down there in Central Time.
Well, true, yeah, in a jar. Yeah, she texted me earlier to let me know that she'd made it home down there to the Gulf Coast. It was so sweet. It was so absolutely sweet for us to be able to sit down to breakfast on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to tell you, for a process that can be, well, let's not, is very traumatic, it seems that you had just the right people around you to really soften the blow.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Or
No, you're not. I mean, I will never be able to adequately or even begin to repay Annette for everything that she did taking care of me. I can't imagine going through this process with some other level of care.
Yeah, she seemed, well, as you
nobody could have it, nobody could have done better, and I could not have hired it done mm-hmm. any better.
She nurseified really well, it sounded like.
She's pro.
Yeah, well, that's pretty clear.
And her heart is as big as all outdoors.
That's very, very clear. You know, I was thinking about this library thing. Let's be honest here. The goal here is not what the guy's bill is. The law is the goal is to close libraries.
Well, these are school libraries.
Well, then that's the goal, is to get the books out of the library.
Yeah, they're book burners.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why not just, you know, cut out the middleman, just fire up the bonfire.
I'd just like to know what harm they do. I mean, if there's a book out there that'll keep a trans kid from committing suicide, I want that book available to them.
Yeah, but you're thinking.
Well, no. The fact of the matter is, it's not that I'm thinking. It is that people like this jackass in Oklahoma want them dead.
And they don't want anybody knowing about the sex. I got to ask you this question.
Okay.
What's her nut with the whole her Kwanzaa?
Oh, Marjorie Trader Gangrene cue ball?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that when I hear stuff like that I can't get my head around, and channeling my inner Scott.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to it? If you can't say something nice, don't say it. Just don't say anything at all.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the thumper rule?
Yeah. Or whatever happened to? Okay, great. You don't like something? Okay. Nobody said you have to walk around saying celebrating Kwanzaa and telling people happy Kwanzaa. If you don't like it, just don't do it.
And you know what? Let me just add this. It may seem a little silly, but I don't think. Generally speaking, I don't think that people who celebrate Kwanzaa necessarily want white folks walking around saying, Happy Kwanzaa!
Yeah, exactly. But you understand what I'm saying.
Sure I do.
I mean, you know, I remember, you know, you and I, we come from very similar. You know, I like to call our family background very salt of the earth. You know, not the most educated, but fundamentally decent folks. Like my grandparents lived in Greenville, Ohio, their entire life. Grandma and Grandpa graduated from, yes, Palestine High School. Well, Ohio does seem to have this propensity to completely mispronouncing an awful lot of city names. Versailles and Buena Vista.
I went right through Versailles just yesterday.
Ohio?
No, Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. So.
Oh, is it Versailles in Ohio, too?
There is a Versailles in Ohio. It's actually the poultry capital of the world, is what it claims. So.
Cairo, Illinois.
Yeah, Cairo.
Arab, Alabama.
Yes, Arab, Alabama. Salina, Ohio. Lima, Ohio. There's another one. Uh, on, and there's Rio Grande.
Yep. Gallipolis.
Gallipolis. Anyway, so what the hell is my... Oh, so I come from very simple folk, country folk. But I, you know what? My grandma was a simple woman. My grandpa was a simple guy. My grandpa was a carpenter. Grandma worked at what we had in Greenville called the Brethren's Home, which was a very large, we call it an old folks' home, that Church of the Brethren ran. Grandma folded laundry. That was what Grandma did for a living.
Yeah, the Church of the Brethren, the Quakers.
Yeah, okay. But I don't ever remember...
And that comes from Quaker stock, too.
Oh, okay.
And Todd was edumacated in a Quaker school.
Where was he edumacated?
Quaker school in the greater Philly area.
Okay. Because there's a big Quaker school in Ohio called, is it Williamsburg? The Bengals used to have their...
I mentioned Myron Cope earlier in that context, because whenever Cincinnati would play Pittsburgh, Myron would be there saying, "And the Steelers are taking on the Bungles today."
Yes. So, hey, Rico, if you're listening, fuck you.
Sorry. Hey, don't you do, no.
Okay, I'm not putting too fine a point on it.
No, we're not going to do that, no.
Okay.
You can say no sympathy.
Okay, no sympathy. I ask that the my comment be
stricken from the record.
Thank you. The
jury will disregard.
I ask with unanimous consent that my remarks be stricken from the record.
Let the words no longer be spoken in the land of Egypt.
Okay, Yule.
Thank you. Well, it is the Yule season.
Oh,
you
know, as soon as I said that, I'm like, there's gotta be a. There's going to be, I do it.
I just self-awarded that.
Okay. But what I was saying is, at worst, I can imagine my grandma saying, "Well, you know, I don't quite get it, but if that's what they want to do, let them do it. What's the deal?" And I don't understand. At most, people say that.
I know.
I mean, am I crazy?
No. It's like something Matt in San Francisco just said. Trans and drag? Well, now he's coming for both of us. He's obviously never fought a drag queen. Suspiciously large women that we are.
I was just going to say, I just thought SLW. But I think about this stuff like this, and I honestly, you know, for about a second, I try to think, why do people obsess over these things? And then, when I finally come to my senses after a minute or two, I realize that there's nothing rational about this. This is, and I don't know what it is, but I've gotten to the point where I no longer care to ask why. I don't care. I just avoid these people. I try to help protect the people they may hurt. And beyond that, what am I going to do? So I just wanted to talk about that briefly. I'm kind of rambling here a little bit, but something else I wanted to talk about. Did you see the new CDC guidelines?
No.
They reduced the quarantine to 5 days.
Okay, yeah, I had seen it had gone to, they had said for healthcare workers down to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're down to 5?
Well, what they did was, it's much more nuanced. It's 5 days... the first day beginning the first day after you first have symptoms being day one, but then it says you should be wearing for 5 days after the isolating 5 days, you make sure you wear a very tight fitting mask for the rest. for another 5 days. I mean, you know, as opposed to wearing a mask, period. But anyway, and I think what they said was, is what they have found is that this Omicron thing tends to be only contagious after 1 or 2 days. That once you get past the 1, 2, 3 days, the contagiousness or transmissibility goes way down. So, you know, these are the quote-unquote silver linings in this Omicron thing. But that doesn't erase the fact that the cases, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know who are double jabbed and boosted who are getting this.
Yeah.
I have a colleague of mine told me, she says, I know more people who have COVID than I do people who don't. And it seems to be particularly heavy right now in the Northeast. And I suspect that's probably because it probably came into the U.S. from New York, et cetera, and the people are so... It's so densely populated here, because I was looking at it, it kind of puzzled me a little bit. Why is this not going up at the same rates in the unvaxxed, non-masked places? And that, I think it's particularly because those aren't the denser populated areas, but places like
it'll get, but it'll get everywhere in time.
Oh yeah, I was just going to say that. You know, if you remember when the initial first and second waves way back in January of last year. Not January of last year, but January of this year, and in the middle of last year, they started here, and we had, you know, the Nitwit Nero folks saying, oh, look, it's just going into blue states. Then, well, as Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be there, and I was looking at the graph of Florida, and it's basically going straight up like the rest. The rest of the areas where it is.
Yeah, this isn't even a hockey stick.
No. What worries me, though, or the quote-unquote encouraging thing, too, is if you look at the hospitalization and death, the curves for deaths and hospitalizations, they're not going up that fast. But that's in the areas right now where it's going up quickly, which most of those areas right now are vaccinated areas. When it starts doing that in areas that are unvaccinated, that's what scares me, is you're going to start seeing the hospitalization.
Oh, yeah. No, that's where it'll get awful. You know, I saw a meme, and you see these things, you know, the stupid people post them. I ain't worried about the Delta and the Omicron, because I got the Alpha and the Omega.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I was just going to say, how many times do these people have to see that their anti-vax pastors are dying left and right? And, you know, again, it's one of those things where I don't even ask questions anymore. You know, I don't watch or listen to a lot of lefty podcasts anymore. I used to listen to Randy, and I do once in a while. But she had a very good... I watched her for about 15 minutes sometime last week, and some person calls in and is talking about how I'm a nurse and I'm not getting vaccinated. And she basically said, I don't care. You know, I no longer care. You clearly aren't interested in ending this, and I just can't care about you anymore. And I've been there for quite a while. I'm not comfortable being there. But I've been there for quite a while. And, you know, that one part of me says, oh, I don't want anyone to get really sick and die and et cetera, which I don't. And generally speaking, my sympathy lies with the family, or a lot of times these people have kids who will grow up without a dad or a mom or both. That's where my sympathy lies. But it's hard for me to care. And you know, I was listening to something very curious. There's actually a debate about this in the UK, even with the National Health Service. They're not going as far as saying people shouldn't, if you're not vaccinated, you shouldn't get care. What they're saying is, if you're vaccinated, if you're not vaccinated and you end up in the hospital, we're going to send you a bill. And I'm comfortable with that. Hello?
I'm right here. Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. So I'm, you know, Robin, and oddly, another quote unquote bright side to this that I heard, this is a Canadian epidemiologist say, the rapid infection and recovery rates, given how fast it's, how easily it's transmissible, and how less severe the sickness is generally, that the irony there is that may actually get us to the quote unquote herd immunity even with the anti-vaxxers. So I mean, maybe a lot of medical folks are trying to find, you know, some sort of silver lining in a lot of this, but you know, wearing a mask is—it's not a big deal. But this, you know, that and not going to an office constantly. You know, I'm a social person. I like to go to the office because I like to be around people and converse with people.
Right.
And interact with people.
We're social animals.
I mean, I know some people who are like completely content with this, working from home all the time. Working from home is fine once in a while, but I need to like talk to people.
You know what else we need to do? Laugh.
Yeah.
I saw something yesterday, and it was good for about 5 minutes of like tears pouring out of my eyes laughing. Our dear friend Tara Devlin over at Tara Buster posted this on her Instagram account. It's a meme with a photograph of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, Josh Hawley, what's his name, that little Shapiro dweeb, Ben Shapiro? No. The guy who claimed, when he heard the song WAP, he actually said on air, and this is for the ages, they'll probably put it on his tombstone, you know, because we know what WAP stands for. Well, my wife never gets wet. I mean, really? You said that without a gun to your head or anything? A photo of Tucker Carlson, one of Trader Tot, Alex Jones, a photo of Nitwit Nero and Paul Gosar and Matt Gaetz. That's nine, right? Yes, nine. The caption? The nine most common causes of vaginal dryness. Still, yeah. Yeah, I know.
That's fantastic.
You kind of want it on a t-shirt, don't you?
Yeah, you do want it on a t-shirt. And I want to sell it out in front of the Subway. That's fantastic.
No, hell, sell it on the sidewalk in front of the Capitol.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Oh, that's great. That's great.
You could sell, or you could sell it in the gay community and change the caption to the nine most frequent causes of erectile dysfunction.
Ugh. For some reason, that one all of a sudden really hit home. I just said,
trying to keep things relevant.
Yeah. That's one of those ones where if you did it right in the right area, it's one of those T-shirts that people walk up and go, "Oh, that's awful. I'll take five." Or, "I can't look at that." And then they keep looking. "Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, did you see that? I sent you, I forwarded a tweet to you." What the name was? There was that term that somebody came up with. I don't remember what it was. Oh, well. But anyway, real quick, want to talk about did you hear he's giving a press conference on January 6th?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And what do you think? I have to, and tell me what you think about this. I think Benny Thompson is a fucking political genius. And here's why I say that. He has put, Liz Cheney has been the face of that committee.
Yeah.
And whatever you think about her and the whole family, what they do know how to do is skewer people.
Oh, they're vicious.
She has, I think, she has been great. And the best thing about it is, given who she is, it's probably going all over. Well, not probably. I know it's going all over Fox News and everywhere, and it's getting out there. And I'll tell you, again, I think Benny Thompson was extremely good at doing what they've been doing all this time, is doing these depositions behind closed doors, because they want to they want to know what the testimony is going to be. Because I guarantee, and you know this too, that come, say, March is when the hearings are going to start.
Yes.
It's going to be
all. And it's going to be must-see TV.
And it's going to be must. I think, and I don't know what you think about, I don't know anything about the guy, but I think the way he has played this has been brilliant. And you know, again, you know politics.
Well, they're saying now that the hearings will start in the new year and go into the spring. It's not going to start in the spring.
I was hoping they would go longer.
But
the benefit of that is that's when the sound bites get.
A senior committee aide told the Washington Post, "I think we may issue a couple of reports, and I would hope for a full interim report in the summer with the eye towards maybe another. I don't know if it'd be final or another interim report later in the fall." And, you know, that's one of the weird part of following all of this stuff. We haven't gotten out of. We haven't gotten out of 2021, and we're talking about things that are going to take place in the fall of 2022. Then it kind of does one of those things.
Yeah. But, I mean, do you agree with me or disagree? I just think he's played this perfect.
No, he's not out there, you know, thunder and lightning. They're going about it calmly, methodically, and legally.
And I'll tell you what. Once the hearings start, I hope they go beyond March, but if they don't, that's fine too, because the sound bites are going to be out there in the universe. I frankly think that that's going to be one of the ways that could salvage the midterms for the Democrats. Because it's going to, I think, if they play it right, it will have the effect of turning off Republicans and turning on the Democratic base and reminding them about what happened, but then illuminating and said, "Hey, as bad as you thought it was 100 times worse."
Yeah, the thing is that. These things being public, you know, you've got cooperating witnesses now from, like, the Proud Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And that should make for some, and it should make for some compelling questioning, because, and I think this was a fundamental error on the part of the maggots, by refusing to participate, that means there's nobody going to be, there's not going to be anybody there to throw softballs to these treacherous fucks.
I was just going to say that too. And I mean, think about that. Who was the one who played that three-dimensional chess?
But you're absolutely right. We need, and I don't know how you. We need to have people highly motivated on our side to save this and expand this House majority, because this committee will not finish its work if the House is lost in November. I mean, you've got Matt Gaetz, one of the 9 leading causes of vaginal dryness.
You know what? I have to tell you something. After you said that, I don't have a vagina, but I felt dry down there. Just
I told Tara the minute I looked at it. I said, "Well, by God, I'm suddenly a freaking Sahara."
Okay, give yourself a cowbell for that one.
Okay, well, thank you.
We're making up for lost time here.
But no, if we want this thing to see its logical conclusion, we've got to retain the House. And, you know, they're already measuring the drapes, as the saying goes, the maggots are. And now Matt Gaetz, it just Gaetz worse, has declared that when they take the House back, and I wonder if there was a radio show that maybe talked about this possibility. When they take the House back, he, by God, Matt Gaetz, it just Gaetz worse, is going to see to it that Donald Trump becomes Speaker of the House.
You know, number one, yes, the mainstream media needs to just tune in here. If they want to know what's really going on, just tune in.
Oh, here. I think they do, because somehow or another, half of the stuff we say here winds up on in at some point in time in the mainstream media, you know, a couple of months later.
Yeah. Okay. But one of the worst things in politics is hubris and overconfidence.
Yeah. Are
two of the worst things.
Work on your pass catching abilities before you work on your end zone dance.
Absolutely, and look, again, you and I have talked about how little faith each of us put in Democrats doing politics, particularly electoral politics, particularly ruthless electoral politics. But the more I think about this, the more I'm moving over into the, the midterms aren't going to be what a lot of people think they're going to be. And I think it's going to be a lot more, at least as I look now. And again, you know, looking to the future is, you know, in politics, beyond a week or two is not that, it's kind of stupid. But I honestly think that when it comes to November of 2022, I think it's going to end up being, it's going to surprise some people. And it's going to be a lot better for Democrats than a lot of people, than a lot of the so-called chattering class thinks. And I think a lot of that has to do with Benny Thompson. That's just me. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I'm wishful thinking. But I think he has played this because I think the January 6th commission is going to provide an awful lot of sound bites, commercials, etc. for the fall. And then also, I think another thing that's going to be great, and again, the Democrats need to use this. This is where I get a little sketchy, is you have Trump coming out in favor of the vaccine, the booster. I mean, if the Democrats are really cynical, the cynicism would lie in running ads purporting to be encouraging people to get encouraging maggots to get vaccinated. Look, your God Emperor is doing it. He is in favor of it. But the real purpose of those ads would be to discourage them from voting. And maybe I'm a little bit too Machiavellian for a lot of folk here in the Horn family, but when it comes to elections, I am firmly in the ends justify the means camp. There are things I won't do or wouldn't do, but that's on a very, very short list.
Yeah.
I'm about getting power. I'm not about, you know.
There are things that you wouldn't do simply because it's the shit that brings out Republican voters, not Democratic ones. I mean, I think about the smear campaign that Turd Blossom ran against John McCain in South Carolina in 2000.
About his Bangladeshi daughter.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
John McCain has a black baby.
He's a black baby.
Because that's only going to work for a South Carolina Republican.
Right.
Or the thing that the Republicans sent, the mailer that they sent out in West Virginia in 2000, with a knife through a Bible. Al Gore's going to get your Bible. They sent it to two states, Arkansas and West Virginia. You know, you don't have to make stuff up to say that the Republicans are coming after children. You don't have to make stuff up to say that Republicans want to burn books. Matt in San Francisco a few minutes ago said, the fire will grow. First it's the books, then onto the fire are thrown the queers, then the trans people, and then never forget, never again. These people need to be called out for what they are, and what they are fascists. They are approaching, if not already there, Nazis. Nazis burn books. And Christopher out in Oregon, subject line, hateful folks. Hey, Steve, asking maggots if they have nothing nice to say, say nothing at all. Them some mutant maggots, I must say.
Yeah, and you know, and honestly, I wasn't saying that. I was just pondering my bringings up. Where it was the worst thing about somebody was you said, I don't get it. Okay, I don't get what they think, what they do, but I'm just gonna mind my own business and go about my business of doing what I need to do.
Well, you know, that goes back to this theory that I have developed, or this idea, mm-hmm. About understanding. Understanding is vastly overrated. There's not a soul on earth that needs understanding. Every one of us on this planet needs acceptance. For who we are, where we are, how we are, when we are, why we are, we need acceptance. Because understanding, in many instances, is fundamentally impossible. I can't understand your lived experience, but I can accept it. You see?
Yeah. An acknowledgement of validity. I don't get it. And I you know what? To be honest with you, you and I offline have talked about your transition. And we've had very frank conversations.
It's the only way I know to have them.
Yeah. I don't, Robin, I don't understand. I don't.
And that doesn't bother me in the least. I don't either.
Yeah. But I'm not, you know.
But the warmth of acceptance is what, and it's not just me, anybody. The warmth of acceptance is what will lift your soul. The warmth of acceptance of physical disabilities, of you know, all the various and sundry forms of trauma that human beings are heir to. That matters. That's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
But, Steve, I'm going, and thank you for jumping in and getting us down to $105, my friend. We got $105 to go to finish off both challenges. Rico's wonderful. Wonderful. I love you. Love this community challenge. And Joey's Buck the Trenton challenge. $105 to go, and that'll get us down to $1,900 to finish the month of December and 2021 as a whole, and give us a fighting chance starting the new year. So, no, thank you. Thank you, my friend. I do want to get to our next call. How are you feeling? I would be remiss if I did not ask.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm great. I have a little tiny bit of a cough, and I get sniffles now and again, but other than that, I'm fine.
No fever, no...
None of that. I never had any of that.
No aches, no pains?
No. Thank you, vaccines.
How about fatigue?
No more than normal. I have to tell you a kind of a funny story, though, that my dad and my stepmom down in Georgia tested negative, but they have had colds that have been brutal and have been sicker negative than I ever was positive. So, listen, I'm going to run because you got to get to the other person, okay?
Okie doke. You have a good evening.
Take care of yourself, okay?
All right, will do. Later, Steve.
Bye.
Bye. Buddy Steve in New York. The Skype line is clear if you want to jump in. Let's run over to the stress line where Dave in the Blind has patiently waited. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Hold on a second. Had to unplug because my cord is acting wonky. I am going to be at Christine's Wednesday. And probably Thursday. So either Wednesday or Thursday, I will be reporting from her blind instead of my own. She's looking forward to talking to you.
That'll be wonderful.
I told her you were driving back home on Christmas, and she's like, oh, God, I hope she makes it. But I've been following your Instagram account and things like that, so I can reassure her that you're safely traveling back at the Grand Estates and, you know, that things are working out well for you. You know, you guys were talking, you and Steve were talking about acceptance. And this is something I've struggled with all of my life, with my cerebral palsy and all the rest of the things that I've survived and thrived because of. That is the toughest part, accepting yourself. And I think part of this vitriol that comes from the right wing isn't because they're good God-fearing Bible bangers, because if they actually decided to read that book, the rabbi would be teaching them something entirely different. So I think it's about a lot of it's about themselves. you know, Christine and I were talking. She didn't understand why Juneteenth had been declared a national holiday. And I had to explain to her what the significance of it was. But the problem is, Juneteenth traditionally has been celebrated by families. It's not been an official holiday. But there have been families who have kept it for generations. And that's accepting your past, which, okay, good. That's a skill we all need. But this cynical dragging out of the National Young Republicans because they posted a Kwanzaa greeting on their Instagram, so what? Anymore, that's pro forma.
Yeah, but that's see, that's the sickness of our politics now. That's a winner. That's a winning issue for the kind of people, the vulgar, hate filled, bigoted, nasty people who support maggot politicians.
But I also agree with Steve on one other thing. I am a Machiavellian. And if you're going to fight him, you fight him and leave him bleeding on the street.
You can't go into a fight with a member of the Stumplicker Bunch and expect to use Marcus of Queensberry rules.
No, because
it's that scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. We got to establish the rules here.
Yeah. Where he kicks the guy in the crotch.
Yeah.
There'll be none of this. Exactly. And we as progressives, while having allies, however temporary, it is like the Lincoln Project, where Republicans who know how to do this shit, at some point, that same group is going to turn on us.
Well, yeah, I mean, a good example of that, Dave, Steve was talking a couple of minutes ago about Liz Cheney. And she is. She's doing a good job on that committee. I have no problem saying that. But
no, neither do I.
But how did she vote when it came down to things that benefit working families and poor families in America? She voted just like a Republican votes. Igumfoo. I got mine. You.
Yeah. Well, in her case, Daddy got mine. You know.
Yeah.
I understand, and Machiavelli was quite clear. It's often more effective to basically what he's saying is leave the body in the street where everybody knows you did it. And politically, we can do that, and we should do that. And I think an ad where Donald Trump is saying, oh, the vaccines are safe, I've gotten them, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and it's the only time I've ever known that I can point to that the man has actually told the truth.
Well, you know, I had a note from Kevin up in Massachusetts a little bit ago. And Kevin said, Democrats need a spark on the national level. I'm not sure overturning Roe will do it. Those voters are locked in pretty much. Maybe Kellogg's workers getting better working conditions could snowball. Income disparity outrage. I mean, it's at the grocery store and gas pump. And you've got executives with enough money to start a city state. Yeah, rocket ship money. That was a joke about Willard Romney. Yeah. 9 years ago on this program, rocket ship money. But now we've
got. he's considered the correlation among the 1%.
Yeah.
All that
you got, you know, we live in a world where billionaires go into space.
Yeah.
And unfortunately come home.
You know, if Elon Musk wants to colonize Mars, I say
Let him go first. Yeah. And take the libertarians and Republicans with him. And then we can maybe have a nice little planet.
Hey, you know, Robin, what we could
do, since
we're good at fundraising on our side of the aisle. We tend to be pretty good at fundraising.
I don't know who this we is. We've got $105 to go on a challenge this evening.
Well, then get to it, people. Come on. Robin has got a lot of things to do. There.
Thank you, Dave.
Since John Bruno wasn't there, I'd pick up the slack. By and large, what I'm saying is we raise a bunch of money. We make a deal with Elon Musk and with all the other spaceship billionaires and say, okay, boys, here we go. We're going to divvy up the money, and you're going to take all the Joe Manchins and the Christian Sinemas and the Rafael Alito Warner Cruz, and you're going to take all those guys, especially the senator from Winnipeg.
That always gets a laugh.
You're gonna. Well, he was born in Winnipeg.
Oh, I know. But we had another Winnipeg reference earlier today about is Tulsa time about Winnipeg.
What about? Well, here's the thing, and I'm already in Indiana. Indiana wants me, but I can't go back there. It's not about Tennessee.
But you know what? Wait, I just realized something. There is a song that names a place that isn't about the place. Care to guess?
Oh, let's see. Xanadu?
Well, yeah, but that's imaginary. No, there's a song that names a real place, but it's not about the real place that the song names.
Oh, what is it? I am stumped.
Off the Florida Keys, there's a little place called Kokomo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's in the Caribbean.
Yeah, right. No, Kokomo's in freaking Indiana.
That's not Kokomo, Indiana, no. That's about a place in the Caribbean.
But it's not a real place. Kokomo is a place in the Beach Boys' mind. I don't think there's a real Kokomo in the Caribbean.
I don't know. I heard that that's what it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, it says off the Florida Keys. I mean, that's the Caribbean.
I was one of those old Casey Kasem segments or something.
Ponderous.
All of Casey's segments are...
Get Don on the phone. Where are those pictures I was supposed to see? Sorry, yeah. Scott did that the other night. And ponderous.
Well, I remember hearing, you know how some people will lose their shit when they're not on the mic? And there's evidently a famous one where he just lost his.
Oh no, that's what I'm talking about. That's that clip. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he was swearing he wasn't the nice guy.
I don't know why we got to come out of an up tempo record into a goddamn death dedication. I mean, he had a point.
Yeah, I can see him being a little upset about that. You know, it's like.
I think the two greatest meltdowns remain Casey Kasem's meltdown and Oh, who was the great drummer who just absolutely cussed out his backup, his band on the bus? The research. Yeah. Buddy Rich. Buddy
the
Rich.
Research department.
It was Buddy Rich. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Clams.
My grandfather was a professional musician back in the big band era. And he said that the union musicians were striking a club that Sammy Davis Jr. was supposed to appear at that weekend. He was supposed to do two shows that weekend. He was supposed to do the Friday night show and the Saturday night show, and they were sold out. Because this is when Sammy was just getting popular. He was getting a lot of radio play. He was getting a lot. His records were selling. And people wanted to go see him. So in order to cut costs, the owner of the club decided he was going to hire scabs. He was not going to allow the union musicians who usually work that venue to work. Sammy comes rolling into town, and the owner's thinking, well, the shows tonight, they're going to have to give in. And to his credit, and my grandfather always said that he never got that Sammy never got any trouble from any of the union musicians and then on from his local, which was Local 3 in Indianapolis. Sammy looked over at the owner and said, "These men make me look good. Yeah. Pay them and I'll do the show. You keep these other guys on and you're going to have to cancel and refund all those tickets and lose all that money." Well, Grandpa played that night and Saturday night. So, and my grandfather said that Sammy never had any more problems from the union musicians in Central Indiana whenever he would come through, because he'd already stood up for them. And that's what we need to do. We need to jettison guys like Manchin and people like Sinema. Not that they don't have a voice or something to say, usually bad, but that we need to get rhythm. We need to get voices of people like, well, us in there, because I don't think I know everything, but I think I've got a couple of good ideas. You know, and the thing about the, you know, objecting to books in school libraries. Okay. And I believe you said that was in Tennessee, correct?
No, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, okay. Even worse. So if I were in Oklahoma, I would immediately ask that the Bible, the King James Version, and
no, you wait till they pass it, and then you do it. You don't want to smarten them up so that they'll fix the legislation.
Well, yeah, and then you go book by book in there, because a lot of times these like the American Bible Council and you know, all those little hopped up theological nincompoops always put out things like study guides for the Book of Romans and such, So you go after each book in the Bible. And just to be fair about it, go after the Greek and Roman, the Greek and Latin Vulgate and the English translation of the Catholic Bible at the same time with the same measure. That way, even though they'll say it anyway, oh, they're picking on us because we're Protestants. No. Of course, they like the means test. I'd say, okay, here's the means test. You must prove that God actually exists. And that he, she, or it actually said these things. So, you know, we need to learn to play their game and not play tiddlywinks like we've been playing for the last 50 years. You know, because that's always what a bully does, is they'll hit you, but if you go to hit them back, well, that's not fair. It's like when I was a kid, they'd hit me in the shoulder with their fist. I'd hit them in the leg with my cane. Well, that's no fair. You're using your crutch. Well, you hit me first, you know. I tend to leave a few more broken bones, but okay. But even that, in Indiana, because I'm disabled, if somebody were to attack me, I can escalate. Using my cane is an escalation, but I learned early on, you don't back these fuckers off by not hitting them back and hitting them back harder than they hit you. I don't know why. Maybe it's because we view ourselves as the more polite party. Or, you know, we want everybody to get along, and we want to respect everybody's opinion. Well, that's all well and good in theory, but if these guys are coming after our fundamental rights, like voting, like health care, like being able to provide for our families, then by God, this isn't just a fight for our democracy, it's a fight for our very survival. And I'm not asking for anybody to do any violence to anyone. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we can fight just as dirty as they do.
Yeah. The thing is we can fight dirty and have facts. We don't have to make shit up. We don't have to have QAnon. We don't have to have vaccine conspiracy theories and getting stuck to your refrigerator because the vaccine magnetized you. We don't have to have bullshit. We don't have to have bullshit conniptions about critical race theory because our side tends to know a little bit more history, or a lot more history.
You know how I am about the misuse of history for political gain. It just, you know how misuse of words just grates on your last good nerve, Robin?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's the same way when they go critical race theory. Well, first off, if it came up and bit them in the ass, I was in advanced history courses, cross-listed with graduate courses, and we didn't deal with critical race theory. We touched on racism in the military because I was studying a military history course, and especially the kind of discrimination that Irish immigrants in the U.S. Army fighting in the Mexican War received and ended up deserting and going over to the Mexicans and fighting for them. And frankly, I have no problem with that. Because they were being flogged for going to
Mass. Yeah, the San Patricios.
And then, they were told, they were charged with fraternizing with the enemy. When it was a poor rural church and the local priest, and they left a few U.S. dollars in the collection plate. You know. And in that fact, the Mexicans honor these men.
Yes.
Because of their sacrifice, and because they fought so hard, and
because they followed their morality.
Why we cannot look at the good in people, I don't understand. Why Marjorie Taylor Greene or any of that ilk has any approach to the body politic in this country is beyond me. I think it could be argued if they passed this law in Oklahoma that you could legitimately say that the state of Oklahoma is violating Oklahomans' First Amendment rights under the federal under the U.S. Constitution, because it's the government telling you what you can and cannot read, what you can and cannot teach. You know, they want to talk about
being angry about, for instance, being angry about a book called the Trans Teen Survival Guide. What that betrays about them is they think that you can be trans. They think they've harped for years on the idea of the gay community recruiting young people. It's
conversion therapy, Robin.
It's bullshit. Okay, you are or you aren't. Okay, you are or you aren't,
right.
And you can't be converted to it. You can't. It ain't a religion. You don't eat the right thing and drink the right thing and bang, you're one of whatever group. But they're afraid that their precious little punkins will get transed by a book that is specifically designed to help trans teenagers survive, not die.
The same thing could be said for sexual abuse survivors, of which I'm one. Hell, Robin, I'd have given my eye teeth to find out that there were people that would support me if I'd come out and told them about what had happened to me at the time it was going on. I would have given anything in the world, and I had contemplated suicide. And I understand what dealing with issues of sexuality and disability are like, and that's a strange brew right there. And survivor guilt and all the rest of it. It's not fun. It's not games. And for God's sake, I wish, if anything, I mean, I know you guys have heard me clamp on able-bodied people drive me crazy. But the one thing that drives me the craziest is this paternalistic attitude of, well, we've got to protect you from yourself because you're disabled. That doesn't affect my ability to think or to reason. I had one guy accuse me when I got angry with him, well, that's just your CP talking. Robin, I could have strangled the son of a bitch. I really could have. Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
I understand exactly what you mean. Yeah.
So I will be talking. I will be. I'll shoot you a message through the website, since my email's not working real swift, when I get over to Christine's, to give you kind of a heads up.
Okay, that'll be great.
And then we'll just play it from there.
Sounds good to me.
All right,
and give and please and please please give Christine our very, very best.
I will, Robin. I always do. I even told her about your happy news earlier, and she's tickled. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, have yourself have a wonderful evening. I don't know how cold it is there, but stay warm.
It's in the it got up in the mid 60s today. Are we in March, Robin?
Yes, I know.
All right, I'll talk to you in a couple of days, my friend.
All right, you take care, Dave. Bye now.
Bye.
That's our buddy Dave in the blind. I got about 18 minutes left in the program. That's 18 minutes to try to finish off this challenge. It would be magnificent if we could. $105 to go. To get us down to only $1,900 to finish the month of December in 2021. Thanks to everybody who's already jumped in. And hopefully if there's somebody out there that wants to double $5 or $10, it would be great. Thank you, Jude. Jude says it's been a cathartic program, truly. So kind of you to say. This is, it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely to be home and to be... It's a lot easier. I found, it's not completely easy yet, but just being able to move around the studio, makes it, much nicer. Thanks for joining in the conversation. And, here later, relax. Got to figure out something for dinner. Because I really don't. I don't like to eat before the program because I just feel like it slows me down. But being as it's Moran Monday, we have another Morans. And of course, you can't talk about Morans without talking about Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head. This is a good one. I mentioned talking to Dave that, we can campaign and we can be ferocious and we can be fierce and we can have facts behind us at the same time. They have to make up shit like QAnon. Joe Biden, President Biden, made a Christmas Day phone call to the troops. And one of the assholes who was on the line as the call was closing, yelled out, "Let's go, Brandon." It used to be that you couldn't vote until you were 21. And then, as a direct and proximate result of the Vietnam War, we lowered the voting age to 18, because if you could go and die in some godforsaken swamp for the corporate interests of the United States of America, you should probably be able to vote and maybe drink a beer. I don't know if people like the guy who said, "Let's go, Brandon," to the President of the United States should be allowed to vote. Because whatever his chronological age, his political maturity and his social maturity and his cultural maturity, You're probably somewhere around 3 years old. For real. Really. Let's go, Brandon. Thank you, Colin. Colin just jumped in. We got $70 to go on the challenge now. Just $70. And maybe we can do that in 15 minutes. Thank you, Colin. Thank you so much. No, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. He says that Democrats steal elections. He did it on Twitter, of course. He quote tweeted a piece from that birdcage rapper, the Washington Examiner. And the birdcage piece talked about how Democrats won Wisconsin in 2020, having lost it in 2016. The funny thing is, the stealing of an election that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, talks about, are all things that are absolutely legal. The very notion of stealing an election is extra legal in nature. You know, the way the election was stolen in 2016, the way they tried to steal it again in 2020, the maggots. Or how it was stolen in 2000 and 2004. Brooks Brothers riot, anyone? So, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, who, by the way, is up for re-election in 22. And wouldn't it be lovely if he could be unseated? Well, he said, how to steal an election? Seeding an area heavy with potential Democratic votes with as many absentee ballots as possible, targeting and convincing potential voters to complete them in a legally valid way, and then harvesting and counting the results. How in the name of sweet baby Jesus laying there in the straw did that guy get through medical school? Or college, for that matter? Or high school? In other words, he says that Democrats steal elections when they get more people to come out and vote for Democrats than vote for Republicans. Good God. But, you know, he's a libertarian intellectual. And of course, and while Oklahoma is moving toward book banning and book burning, there's an effort afoot to suck in children to a homeschooling curriculum called School of the West. And the primary focus of this homeschooling curriculum is what they call white well-being. Their focus, they say, is to help children above the age of 4 to, quote, understand the gift of being born a member of Western kind and the qualities that separate us from the other races. Yeah. Oh, okay, I may have had my facts a little bit backwards. Thank you, Darlene in Connecticut, with a bit of a correction. I read it was actually the father of a child that Biden spoke to during the NORAD tracking of Santa Claus thing the president and first lady do. The father was in the background and said it. I don't know if they pre-screened those calls. No, that sounds like what it was. I only caught a snippet of it on radio news. And just rolling along the highway, heard it and just... Who does that? Who does that? And, your heart just goes out to the little one. Yeah, it probably wasn't a military type because that would be at least nominally a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice one way or another. It was good to see an article last week pointing out the fact that members of the top brass of the military or retired members are warning that an echo, you know, confirming something we've been saying on this program for years, that the United States military has a deep, deep, deep white supremacist, white nationalist, insurrectionist problem. And that 2022 and 2024 could be ugly, really bloody and ugly, if the current brass doesn't get that under control. Yeah, okay, thank you, Jude, clearing things up a little bit. The individual said that in live, real time, while surrounded with three of his four young children, video of President Biden and our endearing First Lady Dr. Jill as the fuck you was conveyed to the presidential office at Christmas time. An example of blatant disrespect. Shocking. I think he was a former sheriff. Thank you, Jude. I appreciate the update. That's most helpful. Let's go, Brandon. Like I said, their political maturity age is somewhere around 3 to 4 years old. And it's just revolting. Meanwhile, out in Arizona, Stan, these people. There's a woman by the name of State Senator Wendy Rogers. And she's just an absolute brass-bound cue ball. And she, you know, she's one of those people who think that the election, idiots who think the election was stolen. Well, on Christmas Day, Christmas afternoon, I guess the eggnog got the best of her. And she said, "I stand with Jesus, Robert E. Lee, and the Cleveland Indians." Really? That's an interesting little troika there. "I stand with Jesus, Robert E. Lee, and the Cleveland Indians, all being canceled by the satanic communists. But they can never cancel Jesus. He will have the last word. He is the word." And you know, I guess people come out and vote for her, because that means there are people just like her in her district. "I like Indians and I like Redskins. I like Aunt Jemima and I like Uncle Ben. I like Robert E. Lee and I like Stonewall Jackson. I don't like traitors who hate America. Stand up for our culture." That was last summer. We see stories like this. And we go, nut job. These people intend nothing short of wholesale oppression and purging. It's like what Matt in San Francisco said earlier. First they throw the books on the fire, and then they start throwing the trans people and the gay people and anybody who is not cis heteronormative and right wing as shit go on too. This horrible attempt at a human being even said, "I want to bring back McCarthyism." Blacklists, political persecution. She approves of that. Because as a fascist, she can't win in a fair fight. Fascism always has to silence its opponents because, well, because the ideology is so hateful and so brutal. Oh, and by the way, we were talking about 2020, 2021, and there's that meme I saw the other day that said, you know, you're kind of like Happy New Year until you realize it's pronounced 2022. Well, here's an example of this. Over in Israel, in Galilee, of all places, according to the Daily Beast, the Israeli government is freaking out about a potential outbreak of bird flu. The Israeli National Security Council is even involved because there are hundreds of millions of migrating birds that fly through Galilee every year. And bird flu can be deadly to humans. Half of 863 human cases reported since 2003 have been fatal. More than half. So Yossi Leshem, a zoologist at Tel Aviv University, who directs the International Center for the Study of Bird Migration at Latrun, said 5,400 wild cranes have died from the new strain categorized as H5N1. And the Israeli government is scared to death that it could mutate and become the next pandemic. Because we needed that at the end of the program, didn't we? Yeah. Yossi Leshem said, it's a tragic ecological event, and we simply do not know how it will end or where it will lead. No, that was Yoav Motro, the Israeli Ministry of Agriculture. There's no way to know what's going to happen. When you identify avian flu in chicken coops, you kill all the chickens and disinfect the coops. In the wild, at this level of infection, I don't know where it'll lead. I'm worried. By all means, let's keep fucking with the planet. And one last thing. Take a moment to send your sympathies to Alex Jones, because you know he's all big and acts all tough and macho on air, but apparently he got the shit kicked out of him by a girl, namely his latest wife. His previous wife kicked the shit out of him in court. And Erica Wolf Jones beat him with a shampoo bottle, saying that she hit him at least once with a bottle of shampoo and it caused burning. He complained to the police. It caused burning to his eyes. Domestic violence is never funny. But for a guy who goes on air and has tormented the people who lost their children at Sandy Hook, I'm having a real hard time working up a sad here. He feared for his life because she hit him over 20 times. He ran away from her and she threw a heavy, large stone ball at him, allegedly. The cops came and arrested Erica Wolf Jones, charged her with assault and with resisting arrest. She broke free of police officers initially and began trying to beat them up. The cops claim that she hit at least one of them. Said she was, by God, not going to jail. Sounds like they were made for each other, her and Alex. I hope they can work out their differences. We You think maybe Alex Jones has some... Alex Jones has some, you know, issues? Yeah. So that's the program. Thank you all for joining in. Thanks to everybody who listens to the podcast. Thank you so much. Thanks to each all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. You are how this program continues on the air for almost, two decades. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation in whatever manner you choose. On the overnight crew, well, there's $70 to go on the challenge. If anybody on the overnight crew wants to knock that out on the in the podcast crew, please feel free. Or you know, what? It doesn't have to stop there, because $1,900 after the challenge is met is a long way to go and a short time to get there in 4 days. There will be a New Year's Eve Friday on the front porch. I'm looking forward to it. It's rather a special anniversary for me. That's 1 year since I came out on air here. And the greatest gift I have received has been the massive amount of acceptance and kindness and generosity of spirit that I've had and experienced in the last year. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff over in the chat room. Thank you so kindly to Sparky and Steve from Georgistan. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who wandered by the chat room. Nice to see you all. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live, who was every bit as just went along with me when I started the program an hour early. Why is my alarm not going off? Yeah. By the way, I will be filling in for Malloy tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. I hope you'll be around for that. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And please stay safe. Omicron is nothing to fool around with. Don't assume that it's going to be mild. Keep wearing your mask. Make sure you're vaccinated and boosted. Use your hand sanitizer. Take it with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance. And, you know, for God's sakes, if some neo-maxi Zoom dweeby with a thing on his head it starts moving towards you, talking, the Democrats are stealing the election by following the law. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later.